This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome back to the Michael Coolidge Show. This is Cost Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. We'll be doing this until the top of the hour. These segments are sponsored by Cost Financial. And joining us this week by phone, CJ in studio, Steve. Gentlemen, happy post-Labor Day weekend.
Good morning, Mike. What an awesome weekend.
Yes. CJ's with us as well?
I am, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Wonderful. All right. Well, our regular listeners know that we do the Klaus Quiz question of the week at some point during the during these segments. And this week, the caller who calls correctly with the answer to the Klaus Quiz question of the week wins a $25 gift card to Bass Pro Shop. If you want to call in and ask questions to either CJ or Steve, call 815-398-9765. That's 815-398-WROK. And gentlemen, I understand today we're going to be talking about how listeners can achieve financial independence. When can listeners, when can people retire? And this idea of defining people by what everyone else is doing. Hey, my neighbor retired. Maybe it's time for me to retire. That isn't really the best way to make that calculation, is it? What is the best way to make that calculation as to when you can retire and how we can each achieve financial independence?
You know, that's a good question, Mike. And in reality, we really do feel that it is individualized because everybody's circumstances and situations are different. Is really a simple concept in nature in determining how much money you need to create the income to support your lifestyle. Obviously, there are a lot of variables involved. Some of those we'll be going over today. Many times you hear us also talking about the markets in general and accumulating enough money for retirement, and all of those are very important parts of the process. But in reality, how much money do you need to save in order to create the income that you'll need in conjunction with maybe Social Security and or a pension to support your lifestyle? That's really what it boils down to. You know, we do know some stats. On average, many people retire currently between the ages of 63 and 65. With current average life expectancies, there's usually about an 18 to 20 year average for most people's lifetimes in retirement. Obviously, there's always exceptions. And again, on average, Social Security ends up being about $1,300 per month per individual. Again, there are many other variables involved with that, but the single biggest factor that we also know is that determines when you can retire is really the ratio of a retiree's annual spending to their retirement income.
The ratio of a retiree's annual spending to his retirement income. And how does that work exactly?
Well, it's really just looking at the total amount of money that you have accumulated and what type of income you'd be able to generate from that on a realistic basis. Again, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then take a look at your expenses. I mean, you hear us talking many times about how much debt you have, and what other lifestyle fixed type of expenses do you have. So many times people will initially think that the trigger for when they retire is really wrapped more around the markets. And we really don't think that to be the case. It is really more based on your goals and objectives, how much money you need each month to maintain your lifestyle, what do you have already coming in, and what is your shortage. And then you can kind of work backwards from there.
Yeah, you know, Michael, a lot of people will come into our office and say, well, when can I retire? And Steve and I will kind of laugh at that and we'll say, well, when your income exceeds your expenses, right?
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
When your income exceeds your expenses. And they go, well, how do I figure that out? And we go, well, let's see your Social Security, if you have a pension, and let's look at a conservative distribution off your portfolio. And we look at it and we say, okay, that gives you whatever the number is, let's call it $50,000, and the person says, great, can I retire? And I go, well, I still don't know. I'm telling you what your income is, but what are your expenses? And unfortunately, where many people will go wrong is they'll say, I don't know. Right, I don't know the expense line. So I guess we're kind of going a roundabout here, but the conclusion is know your expenses. If
you know your
expenses, then any good financial advisor can sit down with you and determine whether or not you can retire. Because if your income, if your net income, of course you have to be aware of taxes and things like that, but if your net income exceeds your average monthly expenses, boom, there we go, you can retire. But unfortunately, you know, we simplified, it's really just that easy, and yet I'd say at least 80% of the people who come in don't actually know that number. They don't know what their average monthly retirement expenses would be. So that's a starting spot for people.
And that is something, I mean, you know, my wife and I are in our 40s, and that is something that we don't, that we try to figure out as far as what we spend every month on stuff. But that's important things. What is your housing payment a month, whether it's a mortgage or your rent? What do you pay for gas? What do you pay for groceries? What do you need to spend to live every month? What are you, you know, paying debts, your health insurance, that kind of thing? And that's, I mean, each of these things is how you come up with what you spend each month, right? Like health insurance, for example.
That's right. And back in the good old days for our in many cases, parents or grandparents, they knew down to the penny. They literally knew down to the penny because there was no bank register that they could go to, you know, at usbank.com or chasebank.com and see how much they've been spending. So they knew down to the penny because they had a ledger. Matter of fact, for many of our listeners who have parents, elderly parents, I'll bet you've seen some of these ledgers. They're like long, big, almost Excel spreadsheet-like ledgers from their checking account where they would record every transaction. Because they actually, if they didn't record that, they wouldn't know how much they had in their bank unless they drove by their bank and talked to their banker. So, you know, go back a generation or two ago, and people knew this. You said, what are your average monthly expenses? And boom, they could churn out a number. But nowadays, we tend to think that technology has made our lives better. And don't mishear me. I am of the generation that I believe in technology. But in the world of finance, too much technology has basically just created apathy around, you know, I don't know how much money I spend. And that is a big problem. As you head to retirement, make it your goal to know what your average monthly expenses are.
And some of the big ones I know that people spend monthly is health insurance, housing, your transportation back and forth to work or wherever you go, right? All understanding all of these things and tabulating them somehow is where you need to start.
That's correct. Yes, as a matter of fact, Steve mentioned that 63 to 65 is where people retire on average. Those are the ages. And some people go, well, what's the significance of that? Well, let's just talk about a couple key ages here. 62 is the earliest that you can draw Social Security, but that's at a reduced benefit. Plus, you have to be careful of how much you earn outside of Social Security before it affects your benefit. So 62 is one of the earlier years we start seeing people retire because that's first when they become eligible to draw if they want to. But then really, 65, at least in our experience, is where we really see people starting to retire. And the main impetus there is health insurance. For anybody who's getting up in age, getting closer to 65, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The notion of having to pay COBRA insurance through your old employer or going off into the insurance exchange is kind of a scary proposition. So when you get to 65 and you become Medicare eligible, not only can you draw your Social Security, but you can pay for Part B Medicare costs out of your Social Security benefit, get a Medicare supplement, and boom, you're kind of off and running with really good retiree health insurance with almost full Social Security to boot. So 65 is really a pretty critical age where we see viability of retirement coming in. And let me also add to that. Sometimes people go, okay, so is it 65 no matter what? And the answer is no. You can retire when the math makes sense, but we have people with $5, $8, $10 million of a portfolio who still will wait to 65 because the pain of writing a $1,500 check a month to the insurance exchange is just something they don't want to deal with. They'd rather work to 65, not have to pay that huge premium, and then just rely on Medicare. So health insurance is probably one of the biggest things that we see impacting people's retirement decisions.
And then housing, I know, is a really, really big big expense. Even if you have it paid off, you have to think about property taxes, which in Illinois are not exactly cheap.
Yeah, with housing, you are looking at many times, well, do you currently still have a mortgage? Is it paid off? What about the upkeep on your home? Some people, depending on their age, they might get to the point where they really don't want to mow that lawn anymore or shovel the sidewalks. And, you know, in Illinois, you have to look at the property tax implications for individuals. Other times, it's a matter of people really like the privacy of having their own home versus renting an apartment or buying a condo. So there are various things to take into consideration as part of your fixed retirement living expenses that become a factor. You hear us advocate all the time that if you're able to pay down your debts, not have a mortgage when you're going into retirement, and really have no other debts other than your living lifestyle expenses, that's much, much better for individuals. Also, with elderly parents, as CJ alluded to earlier, you could end up with, as a child, how do you help your parents taking care of their home as they age? Whether that, again, is a matter of maintenance, or is there a point where, you know, living in their own home, they're no longer physically or medically able to do that? So there are ongoing aspects, even during retirement, that are components that aren't always directly investment or market related in the process.
Well, we're going to take
a all of our,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Michael. Just let all of our listeners understand, this question of when can I retire is again, fairly simple. It's money in, money out. And if you know that equation of money in, money out, you just sit down with a professional, you can pretty quickly determine that. But to put it in perspective, Steve and I work with people who have between Social Security and their portfolios, maybe $40,000 to $50,000 a year of household retirement income. And some of those people come in and do reviews with us, and they say, I have is more money than I can deal with, and I just do everything that I want to, and I'm living high on the hog. And that's at $40,000 to $50,000. We have other people who have $250,000 to $300,000 per year of retirement income, and they're living paycheck to paycheck and feel like they're poor. So you tell me what the difference is, right? Is it about the number, or is it about the cost? And of course, we believe it's about the cost. That's one of the biggest reasons why you hear Steve, Malia, and myself on the shows, you know, give this opinion of do your best to be debt-free when you walk into retirement. Because if you have no debts, you'd be amazed at how little it takes to manage yours and your spouse's lifestyle. But conversely, if you have a big mortgage on your home, a vacation property, and two kids and a couple grandkids that are living with you, watch out. You know, you're going to need a lot of income to support your lifestyle.
We will take your questions after the break at 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. We will also ask the Kloss Quiz question of the week. This is Money in Motion, sponsored by Kloss Financial. We'll continue with CJ and Steve after this. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right, and this is the place. This is Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. The number to call, 815-398-WROK, 815-398-9765. Before the break, we were talking with Steve and CJ about the money coming in and money going out. That really is the equation you need to figure out to decide when you should retire. And and what else, men, do you have? I know that when it comes to the cost part, once you have that figured out, then you have to figure out how much income you're going to be able to pull from your retirement assets, assuming you're retiring, because obviously if you retire, you're not working anymore and drawing the same income that you were when you were working. So how much income can we pull from our retirement assets and possibly keep them growing?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And that's one that, as CJ alluded to earlier, that we are addressing with people also is when you look at the bucket of money that they've accumulated, what is a realistic withdrawal rate? And you'll get different answers depending on who you're talking with. But in general, we always suggest a 4 to 5% maximum income withdrawal rate can be sustainable. Sometimes people will want to try and withdraw more money in their early years of retirement just for those things they always wanted to do and never had time to do. And many times that can be just fine as long as it doesn't become a lifestyle change, because none of us really know how long we're going to be here health-wise or activity-wise. And it does have a lot to do, again, with your lifestyle, as CJ mentioned. You know, money coming in and money going out. Where are you in that respect? Because most people are always concerned, even during retirement, that they don't run out of money. So that is an ongoing variable that we monitor with our clients on an annual basis at the very least.
Well, and I'm going to give a little shameless plug to Kloss Financial here. So we actually have created what's called a dynamic retirement income strategy. And so one of the fears that people have as it pertains to their investments is, number one, I don't want to pull out too much so that, you know, I'm 80, 81 years old and I run out of money. But number two, maybe you don't want to leave, you know, all of your money to your kids either. So you don't want to underspend, but you don't want to overspend. And truth be told, this is why people like us have jobs, to make sure that doesn't happen. So we've created what's called a dynamic retirement income algorithm that just basically looks at people's portfolios each year, and if there's a sudden massive change in the markets, it will tweak that distribution rate. If things remain pretty consistent, then it can generate more income. We actually think this is a big deal. Again, that's why I say it's a shameless plug, because saying just arbitrarily pull 4% per year out of your portfolio, well, that may or may not work depending upon how the markets go and depending if you take any more throughout the year. So it's really hard just to kind of arbitrarily say, look at your money, attach 4% to it, and boom, you've got a lifetime income stream. Unfortunately, that's not the way the markets nor our lives work. So working with a firm, I believe, that has some sort of dynamic way to look at that, to say, hey, if you suddenly need to take an excessive withdrawal from your portfolio, you know, here's how that would impact your future income. But with that being said, I do also want to address one other thing, a little tip for all of our listeners out there. Kiplinger has actually put together a really interesting map, an interactive map that you can find online. And so you can go to Google and just type in Kiplinger's best states for retirees, and then just look for this map. And it actually shows like a heat map of each state based upon which states are most tax-friendly to retirees. And for those who are near or in retirement, this is really fascinating because it'll show states like Minnesota that are really horrible for retirees, or states like Nevada, Arizona, or Florida that are really, really good on an overall tax basis for retirees. And believe it or not, I'm looking at that map right now, and Wisconsin and Illinois, most people, if you kind of ask them off the top of their head, hey, what do you think about Wisconsin and Illinois for retirees, they'd say horrible. But purely from a tax element, believe it or not, they're kind of neutral. They're not really good. They're not really bad. So it's interesting. You want to take a look at where will I be retiring and what are the costs associated with me living in that state? Because one element in northern Illinois where Steve lives, I actually live up in Madison, Wisconsin, but one element there is property taxes. Holy smokes, that's a huge cost of having to live in the, you know, Winnebago County area.
Sure.
Or anywhere in Illinois for that matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, planning that and being thoughtful about that, you know, listen, just by moving from, say, Illinois to Florida, you might save $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a year just in taxes alone. So being aware of where you plan to retire and what the tax burden will be is pretty important.
815-877-8440 is the number for Kloss Financial. The Kloss Quiz question of the week is, what is the single biggest factor that determines when you can retire? What is the single biggest factor that determines when you can retire? 877-8440 in the 815 area code. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us.
Have a great week, Mike. Thanks again.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.